Praise the Lord. All right, let's turn for a little while to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through the work, and through thy work I will triumph in the works of thy hands. And I want to speak for a little while this afternoon on a good thing. We have a number of references to that effect. And so the first one that we have is right here in verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. You can continue that by saying it is a good thing to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Now, the thing that we must understand about this is we really must consider our own attitude in this matter. In other words, we could have, and some people might have that attitude, well, I guess it's all right to give thanks. Well, the scripture says it is a good thing. And so we can't fall into that category of, well, it might be all right. Rather, it is a time to make it an urgent priority. And this is what is so important with the attitude. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Emphasizing the very thing, it certainly is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Not just something that passable, so to speak. You don't need to turn there, but you can put this verse down for reference. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. But the verse doesn't end there. It continues on with this. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is the will of God to give thanks. If we are going to abide in God's will, if we're going to be absolutely submissive to God's will, then we must. It's not an option. We must give thanks unto the Lord. And then as we continue here, it is a good thing to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. And indeed, this is such an important thing for us to begin the day, as it were, by giving thanks, being much aware of him and his presence in our midst. So it's a good thing to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. Furthermore, thy faithfulness every night. And we can surely see this one. We should be able to identify that, because we can give thanks for his faithfulness after he has proven himself during the day. And indeed he has, day in, day out, all day and all night. And so it's a good thing to give thanks for his loving kindness in the morning, his faithfulness every night. Verse 3, upon an instrument of 10 strings. Now that means that you're to give thanks upon this instrument. The instrument, an expression, way of expressing thanks unto the Lord. As I thought upon this instrument of 10 strings, I personally don't know of any instrument that has 10 strings, But Psalm 47:1 might be somewhat of an answer. It says, clap your hands, all ye people. And so these 10 strings might be a reference to our 10 fingers that we clap your hands to praise God and to give honor and praise unto Him. It is my understanding that Sister Bodie couldn't sing a lick, but boy, could she clap her hands, is the, what I have understood, and that's exactly what she did. And so we would have praising God or giving thanks on an instrument of 10 strings. We understand upon the psaltery, we understand upon the harp, and you will notice it is with a solemn sound. It is a sound that is genuine, that really is sacred and dedicated indeed unto the Lord. And then in verse 4, we find the reason for giving, one reason for giving thanks, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. Notice this one, in giving thanks, for thou, Lord, in verse 4, hast made me glad through thy work. And when we consider God's work, I don't think that we're just talking about the work that he's done in creation and things like that. When we think about the work of God, we should be thinking of that which is more personal in my own life. And that is that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so the work of God is me. The work that we're talking about is that which he has done in my life. And it is so imperative that we give thanks for exactly that. Then he says, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Well, bring it down personally. I am the work of thy hands. I will triumph in that work. And so triumph in the works of thy hands, that is indeed in my own life. Want to turn now to the 7th chapter of Romans for a reference to another good thing, only this is a little bit different. Romans 7:18. This is Paul's own experience. I can say that every one of us must come to exactly the same experience and the same conclusion. We must understand this in our own lives. Paul says it this way. He says, I know, and that is, I know. He was not speculating, he was not guessing, he was not just assuming. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is so important for us to understand, because we're going to have to understand what in me means. Because there are people that do not understand the two creations. And so they just hold themselves responsible and they never get the victory over sin in their lives because they don't see this glorious truth. Paul says, I know that in me, and then he very quickly adds, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And men must come to that realization where regardless of their birth, regardless of their state, regardless of their prestige, regardless of how other people might look upon them and applaud them to the skies and all of this, this statement is still absolutely true. Anything associated with the first Adam is no good thing. That old nature with which we were born, I don't care how much we try to fix him up and put wonderful clothes on him and have him do all sorts of charitable things and all of this, this fact is still, and it is a scriptural fact, in that flesh, in my flesh, Paul says, dwelleth no good thing. And then he tells us, to will is present with me. I want to do good. I have that desire. But how to perform that which is good, I find out. Now, if you go ahead and read there in Romans 7, Paul did find the answer that it was through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he found out that the answer for him once again was Christ, as we have been magnifying this entire day. Turn now to 2 Timothy 1. Paul says here in verse 13, 2 Timothy 1:13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me." Paul referring, of course, to the gospel that he had given to Paul, or to Timothy. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Then, in verse 14, he refers to that good thing. Now, I want to point out here that this has to refer to two things at least, that good thing. It refers to the gospel that was committed into Timothy's hand. So you need to keep that good thing, which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. So the gospel would be one thing that was committed to Timothy's trust, or that was deposited. That word committed, it literally means to deposit, or a sacred trust, or that which has been deposited. Now, that had been deposited. Paul did that. God, through Paul, did that for Timothy. And so he said, then that good thing which is committed unto you, you keep that. You guard that. And indeed, the same thing is true of our own lives. But I want to notice something else that was given or committed to Timothy, and that by the laying on of Paul's hands. If you'll skip down, or rather go back up to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, we read this: "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand." Now, this particular gift has to be the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, we have already discovered that no man can fill anyone else with the power of the Holy Ghost. No man can heal anyone else's body. They are simply instruments. They are simply a point of contact, as we have brought out before. And so at this particular time, Paul is exhorting Timothy that you put in remembrance and you stir up the gift of God. And what gift was that? It was, as I say, the gospel. There's no doubt about that. But it is also, I'm confident, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 7, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That spirit, of course, would be the power of the Holy Ghost. It's much like we do today. We have had that same experience of people wanting to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We lay our hands on them. That doesn't mean we are the ones who are doing the filling, but there is that point of contact and God fills them. So it is a gift of God. It is a gift from God. It is a gift that only God can supply. And so God has given Timothy this gift. So, Timothy, stir up that gift. You need to let the power of the Holy Ghost work and operate in your life. Now, I know that sometimes people think, well, that just means speaking in tongues, interpreting, things like that. No. The primary job, the primary role of the Holy Spirit is that when He has come, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I've said unto you. The primary ministry of the Holy Ghost is as a teacher of God's Word, and there is just no substitute for understanding and knowing the wonders of that truth. So, Timothy, stir up that gift that is in you. You stir up the Holy Ghost that is in you in order that you might minister as He intends to minister. And so, all of these gifts come from God. Every good gift, every proper gift has come down from above. That is from God, because that's the only place that they can come from. So all these gifts come from God. So it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And indeed, we could follow all of these different things. Give thanks with the right attitude, and indeed give thanks for all these things and all the decisions that God has made in our lives. All right, those are my few thoughts and meditations for this afternoon. So shall we sing?